So welcome to our final week of Frequently Asked Questions, where I put out the ask, hey, ask me some questions about God, the Bible, church, Jesus, things like that, and you did not disappoint. And we've been on this journey for the last few weeks. And I don't know if it has been good for you, but I have been deepened by this as I look to go, how do I answer these or respond to these questions? How do I think through these types of questions? And I intentionally left the question that's asked today for last, as I know we're positioning towards a time when we're going to be spending time with family, gatherings, obligations, and things like that, because this question has everything to do with relating to people that aren't like us. People that don't act like us, people that maybe we don't want to be around. And so I thought, let's save this for today, and then we'll go through it. And I'm actually really excited about this, especially how I just got to discover something so much more rich and deep that I never really saw before. And we're going to see how it unpacks. Are you ready? All right, you ready for the question? Nobody cares. Nobody cares but me. All right, here's a question. You guys have this question too. You do. How does Jesus say we address family members who make your skin crawl and don't necessarily act godly? Can we say goodbye and write them off? They are direct family, so now what? My favorite word in this whole thing. Thanks. No, thank you, right? Yeah. No, and really, I mean, thank you. Like, this is a great question because it's so real, isn't it? Like, I don't know about you, but I would be willing to bet that you have people in your life. Let's just think about people in your life that you don't like to be around. Right? There's a coworker that you're like, I just dread them walking over to my cubicle or going into work with them or whatever, the way in which they talk about other coworkers or their night out or whatever it was, right? You just don't want to deal with that person. What do I do with that? Is that if I'm a person that's going to follow Jesus, what do I do? Can I just be like, get that negativity out of my life, right? Stay away from me. Or maybe you have a neighbor. Right? Neighbors, man, especially if you live in an apartment. We've lived in some apartments, and I tell you what, it's like you never meet the person that lives upstairs, but you hate them because you swear they have like a herd of elephants up there, right? Right? There's just something about it. Or you just have a neighbor that, like, the way in which they start their car in the morning or the way that they don't address their barking dog, you know, things like that, whatever it is. Right? There's people in our life. But now what if those people are people that you're going to go and spend a family gathering at? They're going to be at your kids' activities. You don't get to escape them. They're going to be there. And the things that they say, the things that they do, the way that they act, it just makes your skin crawl, right? It just so goes against the grain of how you want to live your life, how you're following Jesus. And you're like, I can clearly tell they're not doing that. What do we do with people like that? We want to just be like, goodbye. I'm not going to associate with them. And yet they keep showing up. Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look about how Jesus instructs us to deal with people like this. Because he does. In fact, Jesus dealt with people like this all the time. And we're going to take a look and hang out in the Gospel according to Matthew, because this is not just near and dear to Jesus' heart, it's near and dear to Matthew's heart. You're going to see how it keeps coming up for him. This is an important thing for Matthew, and you can see that it has changed his life to where he wanted to make sure these things got recorded in such a way that we could benefit from them. Okay, so we're going to take a look at Matthew chapter 18, and this is what I call, it's a section that I call the church discipline passage, right? How do we deal with other followers of Jesus that are a part of our church, and they're not doing things the right way? So what do we do? What's the, check the list of things that I make sure we do, and then, okay, I've dealt with them, okay? So we're going to take a look at that, and then we're going to expand upon it, on it, because Matthew really cares about this, and so does Jesus. So let's take a look. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15. Here's how it starts. And if you've ever served on a church board or something, you know what this passage is about, okay? If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. Yay! Right? That's the way we want it to work. There's something, now I get it, this is people in the church supposedly have this trust in Jesus, this life that's been transformed by Jesus, and they're working that out. They're living together with other people, and someone comes to them and says, you know what? I don't think the way you're acting or the things that you're saying are very Jesus-like. Someone comes up to me and says, Michael, the things that you say, the way you talk to your kids, that's not very Christ-like. And I say, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to change that behavior. Party! Yay! They won me back over, right? That's the way we want to see it happening. Now, I know you're going like, well, what about these family members that make my skin crawl and they're not acting very godly and things like that? Hang on. We're getting there. This is going to get good. You ready? Okay, this is the fun part. Verse 16. But if you are unsuccessful, right? Because it doesn't always work out that way. If you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again so that everything you say can be confirmed by two or three witnesses. Now, this is for witness sake, to make sure that the communication going back and forth is happening appropriately, that they can say, yeah, things were handled the right way. It is not about triangulation, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Like, this person's got a problem. I need to convince them of that. Who can I get on my side that's going to come with me and be like, all right, we're ganging up on you here, right? It's not what that's about. They're witnesses. They're just to be there to make sure things have gone well, right? Because taking them aside privately, well, it didn't really work. So let's go the next step. Now, this is the next step, right? Now, what if that doesn't work? All right, well, let's talk about that. Verse 17, if the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Awesome. Jesus just said I get to say goodbye to them, right? We're going to this place, this group of people that trust in Jesus. They're learning how to live this out together. It's called the church. And they've got this transformative life that they're following Jesus' teachings. And there's somebody there that's not doing it. And they refuse to do it. So what do? We treat them like a corrupt tax collector and a pagan. A pagan. Someone who is not believing in Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. They're not going to follow Jesus' teaching. We treat them as if they don't believe in Jesus. A corrupt tax collector, that's an interesting person, right? A person that's standing in one foot in this Jewish, I guess, kind of religious cultural thing, right? Or a Jesus follower, but then they're standing also in this worldly place of Roman governance, right? And this is middleman in there, and they're feeding off of their brothers and sisters so that they can have a good life. We're going to treat them like a corrupt tax collector. Sounds to me like we get to write these people off, right? Sounds to me like we can just say goodbye to them. But I had a question. How did Jesus treat corrupt tax collectors and pagans? Huh? How did he treat them? Well, interestingly, Jesus had an encounter with a tax collector. His name happens to be Matthew, and he has this encounter with him as Matthew is sitting at his tax collector's booth. So let's take a peek at how Jesus treats a tax collector, yeah? Matthew chapter 9. Notice, this is kind of fun. Notice we're going backwards, right? We're in chapter 18, and now there is something that happened before this that if we read this and we knew this, it would help us to clarify Jesus' statement about how you treat a tax collector and pagans, okay? Okay, Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Just first level here. How does Jesus treat this tax collector? "Come and learn from me. Yeah? I invite you to learn something new and different through the way that I'm going to teach." Yeah? Not the way that you learned it somewhere else. "Come and learn from me." He's inviting him to learn from him. Yeah? This is going to get good. I love this. Verse 10. Later, Matthew invited Jesus. So Jesus invites Matthew. Matthew invites Jesus. This is awesome. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. I love that. I love that, right? Like, everybody knows. Everybody knows they're sinners. They're awful people, right? Everybody knows it. Verse 11, but when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, okay, of the Jewish people, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, Jesus' disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such," what? Scum. Talk about wanting to say goodbye to some people, right? That people that make your skin crawl. These are people that make the Pharisees' skin crawl. They're scum. We don't associate with them, right? This is good. Verse 12. When Jesus heard this, heard them talking about it, right? When Jesus heard this, he says, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, I love this, talking to the Pharisees, these religious leaders, right? "I want, go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." You think the disreputable sinners are like, "What? I'm a disreputable sinner?" No, they get it, right? These tax collectors, do you think they know how the Pharisees feel about them? Mm-hmm. How does Jesus treat these tax collectors, these, well, sinners, these people that make your skin crawl, these people that you would just want to write off and say goodbye to? How does he treat them? Well, he invites them into something, doesn't he? He does the same thing with these other people that make your skin crawl. The Pharisees. The Pharisees that are all about just writing them off. Get rid of them. Don't associate with them. Jesus invites them in to go, "Hey, go read your scriptures. Learn, not just memorize, not just know where to find it, but learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices." This is a scripture they would know well. They know the context of the story that is happening in with the Israelite people, where God speaks through the prophet Hosea. And interestingly, Jesus picks the word mercy, and Hosea picks a different couple of words. Let's take a look. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. "I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings." God inviting these people into understanding how to show love the way that he shows love, because they know him. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's living out the meaning of that right in their midst, showing this love and compassion and mercy to these people who are sick, right? They're the ones that are living in a way that's not godly. Does he write them off? He invites them in. He invites them into seeing who God really is, the way through the way that Jesus treats them. So how does Jesus treat tax collectors and pagans? Does he write them off? Completely opposite. He goes and he is Emmanuel, right? He is God with them, showing them and inviting them to seeing how God's love works and his mercy works for them. Inviting them into knowing God more. That's how we are to treat people, right? You didn't win them over. You were unsuccessful. They're still making your skin crawl. What do? Well, maybe we take a couple other people and we're trying to win them back. That didn't work. We're really committed to these people. We have more people that are committed to this person that is unhealthy, who's sick, that needs a doctor. We want to continue to invite them in. Oh, we see that you don't get it. You don't really believe in Jesus. You're acting like this corrupt tax collector has got one foot here in this Jesus following and one foot into the world. We want to come alongside you. We want to help you. We want to show you who God is. We want to show you his love and his mercy and his forgiveness so that you'll be changed. Yeah? It's not about writing him off at all, is it? Because if we do that, if we just write them off, that's nothing different than what the Pharisees wanted to do. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew, gives this sermon that is obviously really important to Matthew because it continues to get defined throughout his gospel that he writes about Jesus. In fact, if you back up and you look at a part of Jesus' sermon that he gives, he addresses that we are to be have our righteousness, doing right by others and doing right by God, that needs to be greater than the Pharisees. Pharisees want to write them off. They're just scum. Jesus says your righteousness needs to be greater than that. So what does that look like? This is cool. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there in that? Even corrupt tax collectors? Come on. Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that, right? Come on, it's all right here. He's continuing to define it as he goes. In fact, he's going to clarify this. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Your righteousness needs to be greater than that of the Pharisees. They would go through those steps in Matthew chapter 18 and they would get to the line about treating them as tax collectors, corrupt tax collectors and pagans and be like, good, done, check them off. We can sign off. But if we follow what Jesus is teaching and how important it is to Matthew, who is one of these tax collectors and has been invited to follow Jesus and has been changed and transformed by learning who God is more and more through the person of Jesus and the love that he shows and the compassion and the forgiveness and the mercy, we can see that he is becoming perfect. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I thought the same thing. Perfect. Perfect, really perfect? Perfect, meaning never doing anything wrong. No, that is not what the word means. The word actually is about complete and whole. Be complete as your Father in heaven is complete. So if we just back up a second, right, and look at what this is, to be complete as our Father in heaven is complete, we have a perfect example of that, complete example of that, a whole example of that in Jesus, Emmanuel, God here with us. inviting us in to know God more, to understand the meaning of his love over sacrifices and offerings, his meaning of showing mercy as God shows mercy. That's what we get to be. These people that are in your family, that make your skin crawl, that do things that are ungodly, they need you. They need a healer in their life. They need a doctor. They need Jesus. And guess who that Jesus is in their life? You. You are that Jesus in their life, inviting them into knowing God more through the way that you treat corrupt tax collectors and pagans. Now, is that easy? That's super hard, isn't it? It's super difficult because it doesn't mean that they will change or that they will get it, but we continue to invite them, continue to draw them in, continue to be Jesus in their midst, continue to be this healer that can bring them healing. They're sick. They need a doctor. It's why Jesus is here. It's why he has changed your life and placed you into that life. So write them off. Say goodbye. I plead with you to not do that, to do the opposite, to invite them into seeing the fullness of who God is, the complete picture of who God is through the way that Jesus is living in and through you. This is such a difficult thing, such a hard thing. It goes against the grain of the way we want to react, the way we want to live, that I wish I had a better answer for this, but I think the best thing we can do is pray. And not just any prayer, but the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples to pray. Yeah? To take that on every time we're going to get into a place where we're going to go be around these people that make our skin crawl, people that we want to just write off and say goodbye to. We pray his prayer to guide us and to lead us. You're familiar with this prayer, but maybe we can see it with a little bit different eyes. Our Father in heaven, who is this? Our perfect Father in heaven, our complete Father, the one that we are to be like. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me not act the way that I want to act. Right? I want to write these people off, but I'm going to align myself with you, God, so that they can get the healing they need. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of the times that we've made your skin crawl. Forgive us of the times where we've made you want to say goodbye. Forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't lead us into temptation because we're so tempted to run away and dismiss these people and treat them as if they're scum. Right? Don't lead us into the temptation to write them off. But rescue us from that evil one that wants to ruin everything, bring chaos into this world and cause division between us and those that make our skin crawl.